Good to go.
Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song or two. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, for the life and health and strength you've given us. Father, for the freedom that we still have to gather together. And Lord, for your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, for an open invitation to come into your throne room at any time of the day or the night. Father, for preserving your word. Father, for like-minded family members and for a family right the way across the world, Lord, please, I pray your good hand upon them this morning and inspire and protect and provision and provide. Lord, you know all of our needs, and I pray that you would provide those for us this morning, that you would be one of our number, that you would attend to our deepest needs, Lord. Just thank you for all of that and for your patience and long-suffering. And Lord, I pray your good hand upon us as we spend this time around your word and lifting up your praises. Would you just provide for us, Lord? And not for us only, Lord, but we remember those that can't be here this morning. Think on Frank and Christine and Mary Ann. Think on Leonard, Lord, on Esther, on Pat and Steve, on the McMahons, on the Lemonians, the Hoes, the Robinsons, the Edgars, Lord, the Borlands. All those that have been and gone, those that have slipped and slid, Lord, I pray you please for a restoration. Lord, please convict, and please, Lord, also still be in the soul-saving business. We know that you are, and it is your desire that all men everywhere would be saved. To that end, Lord, I pray your blessing upon the leaflets that went out yesterday, upon the few words that we were able to share with folks. And Lord, I just pray you too for our governments and our world leaders. And Lord, that you would just grab a hold of them and convict them and give them a good shake. Lord, I know it's not the very last of the last days, and I know the devil's working hard, but I know, Father, that you're still out there, and you're still working on people's hearts and minds, and you're still seeing prophecy fulfilled. Father, would you please show souls what it is and the great benefits of walking and talking with you. I know part of that's up to us, Lord, but please be working on people's lives still. Bless the preachers of your word wherever they are, and the hearers of it too, Lord. And Father, we leave this and our private prayer requests in your hands, and pray that you would grant them according to your will. We love you and thank you. Amen. All right. Well, without this, there will be no point in coming. Number 2 in the wee black books. We're hoping over the next few days or week at the latest that the books will actually expand up to 80 songs instead of 40, so that if you do have any that you really love and you would want to sing along with us that's not in that book, you can let us know and we will get them sorted out. The only thing is you have to be willing to sing them. You have to be willing to sing them. Anyway, hymn number 2 is Blessed Old Book.
It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and warm. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it it costs just to hold in my hand. It reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true: if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen. Good start. Good start. I think I had another one picked there somewhere, but where are you? There we are. If you want to go to number 6 in the wee black books, there's one we haven't sung for a while, and even though it is traditionally an Easter song, it's always nice. It's good to be reminded of what the Lord did for us. Hymn number 6, There Is a Green Hill Far Away, and if you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Thank you very much, Norman. If you're good to read, come on ahead. Thank you. God bless you.
This morning's reading is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 50. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the river a wilderness, their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment, and moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his name, stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Amen.
And thank you for that. It has one of my most helpful verses there, Isaiah 50 and 7. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. I know that speaks of Jesus and what he was going to do. So does the previous verse. But the Bible says about the servant being like the master. And sometimes there are things that we need to do. We just need to set our faces like a flint and do what the Lord says. And let him pick up the pieces. But amen. Good verses. Much appreciated. Thanks to Steve for his suggestions. Amen. Now, we've already had one request or one comment about our orange prayer lists. It is not, as my wife has so strenuously emphasized, it was the next color in the sequence. I was just saying to Christy outside, the one for the end of the month had better not be pink. Normally the end of August better not be pink. That's normally when the gay pride have their marches and things. And I must, if someone would remind me, check up on the status of, there's no marches or anything tomorrow, are there? Does anybody know what's going on? Might be worth, someone remind me to keep an eye on the Parades Commission website. Anyway, just want to remind you to take a moment or two during the week, if you're saved, if you're coming to church, if you want people to be living right and doing right and care about your own soul, that at least once in the week you should be praying for all the names that's there and all the prayer requests that's there as well. And we really would appreciate it. Of late, please do pray for Esther. She has some health concerns, and Tina, that's Christy's connection. They have both got health concerns. We would appreciate your prayers for them, and of course for Steve as well. We also, it's not just a list of, Lord, we want this, and Lord, we're getting a hard time, but we want to thank him as well. So if the Lord has actually done something for you, even if it's only, when the Lord was speaking to Nathaniel, Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of, was it Nazareth? And the Lord said to him, behold a man in whom is no guile. And he says, how do you know me? And he said, I saw you under the, was it the sycamore tree or the fig tree or something? He was sitting under the fig tree. And that was enough for him. It might only be a word or two about something that seems silly to you, but that could make a difference. So if you have any thanks, we would love to hear them. If the Lord's been working in your life, we love to hear that too. There's certainly enough of devilment and sickness and one thing and another working in our lives So please do remember that as well. The Bible says in Philippians 4, it's supplication, prayers, and thanksgiving. So don't forget that. Don't forget that. Amen. I think that's about that. Do pray for sense to rain tomorrow. I think Limavady already got a head start on the bonfire burning. Was it last night or the night before? Please do pray that people keep their heads screwed on and they don't be up to any mischief, although there is always an element of that. So Esther has a doctor's appointment on the 19th. Please pray about that. Will's granny was due to have a knee replacement on the 20th of July, but that's been put back another week, 27th. Please do remember that as well. And I am sure we all have family members. My brother Philip, he's away on some missions trip to England somewhere. And he's brought a waterproof Bible. And he's taken all his outdoors gear that he stole from me years ago. My Berghaus Crusader backpack that is, goodness, would you believe I have a backpack that is almost 40 years old. And it's still going strong. So if you want stuff that lasts for a long time, Berghaus is the place to go. But please do pray for him. We also remember Elaine and Hilary. That would be Rita's two girls and their families. Please do pray for them. And we don't forget Leonard. We don't see him. And we haven't seen very much of him of late. With all things being considered, please do pray for him too. He's still going strong. Still going strong. Still enjoying the football and tea and biscuits. And everything else has pretty much gone away, but he's still going strong. So please do pray for him. Just take time to have a look and pray for those things, if you would. Even with our limited numbers this morning, if each one of us covenanted, promised to pray over that list once in the week, we would be prayed for every day. And the prayer requests too that we bring up once each day, and that would work for me. That doesn't include Pat and Steve whenever they're here. So please do remember that. Right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Will, if you would you pray for us, please?
Dear Father, from this day, Lord, we're trying to pray safe and secure in the presence of the Lord, be well for number, Lord, and may our worship be holy unto thee, and be respect, O Lord. And we do everything we can to please thee and do everything in thy duty, Lord. But with the tracks that went out yesterday, Lord, not for ourselves, but of thy will, of thy glory, may it be done that souls may be written in the land of their life, even today, or even the coming weeks, Lord, and save souls by the name of Strathwaite, and the tracks that went out where they're made down, and Westlake also, Lord, save souls by the name powerfully by the blood of the Lamb, Lord. And Lord, as we come to the service, Lord, and with all the other churches throughout the land and throughout the world, Lord, are coming to congregate together, Lord, to come and worship thee, Lord, may souls be mighty saved, Lord, and that as well, Lord, and souls cost, Lord, and may the saved be emboldened and the backslider restored, Lord. With this day, Lord, with Marcus come to preach, give him a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and give him strength, Lord, and the touch of the Spirit to touch our hearts, Lord, as well, Lord. And Lord, with those that work with the Henry family, the Alfred family, mm-hmm. the Mormon family, and basically Stephen and Anne Marie, Lord, and use it, Lord, as comfort those that are saved, Lord, but also, Lord, touch those and convict those that are lost to think about their eternal condition, Lord, and their eternal destination, Lord. Save souls mightily and powerfully by that as well, Lord. With us today, Lord, we do everything we can to please thee, Lord, and do it, and may you bless us, give us for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take our big hymn books, if you would. Turn to hymn number 51. Hymn number 51. We haven't sung this one for a while. Hymn number 51, where we'll never grow old.
Built by Jesus. with the loved ones who've gone on before.
We're going to sing 54 next, and then we're going to, open our Bibles. Hymn number 54. Oh, that will be glory. Put those hymn books away and take our Bibles out and turn to the book of Amos this morning if you would like to go there. Book of Amos, that's a way up towards the start of the New Testament. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, those are all after it. Amos chapter 3. I'd like to read the first 8 verses of this portion of God's Word. Welcome again to Bethel. Glad you could be here. There's many's a thing clamoring for your attention and trying to convince you not to be out in the house of the Lord and reading your Bible and praying, but I'm glad to see you here this morning. Amen. Amos chapter 3, only about 6 books of minor prophets away from Matthew. So, amen. If you're all set, then we'll begin. Amos chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except to be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth the secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Amen. Verse number 5 is going to be our text, and want to be speaking this morning for a little while on the subject of the trap, or traps. Take your pick. Hopefully just one, but we're going to be speaking on that this morning. Christy, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer, brother, if you would, please.
Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, for goodness, for every gift, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, for the kinship that we have, Lord, for the freedom we still have, Lord, to worship you freely in this land as well. Be with us this time, Lord, as we spend around your word. We pray that you'd be in the midst, Lord. You promised your word that you would, where two or three are gathered. Lord, just be with the preacher, give wisdom, Lord. Give a touch from heaven, Lord. Just guide his words and his thoughts, Lord. And Lord, go up and down and touch each heart and each mind here. Give discernment amongst us as well. With those that couldn't be here, I pray and minister into their needs this morning. Lord, that you'd watch over those that are sick. Lord, that you'd grant a touch of healing. Lord, just comfort their hearts today. And pray for provision for each private prayer request made amongst us as well. Lord, that you would intervene in each of the silent battles, Lord, that souls are fighting today. Strengthen your church, Lord. Save the lost, we pray, Lord. Remember the sick and in need today as well. Lord, we think of Leonard in an easy manner. Lord, you Lord, in London. Be with Pat and Steve this morning. Lord, we pray. Remember those grieving families as well. Pray, Lord, just your comfort and hand around them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We're speaking about... We're going to be spending a little bit of time on the subject of traps. I'm sure you, immediately I say that you can think of at least one or two Bible verses where we are warned to be, to keep an eye out for the many traps that the devil will set for us. And I'm sure I might even have them here as part of my notes. Sadly, as we are on the run up, like I said, the minor prophets on the run up to, the start of the New Testament, we are looking at 400 years between the last words in Malachi, give or take, and the start of the book of, well, of the Gospels. So it's about 400 years. And that's a long time. That was pretty much the length of time that the children of Israel spent, I was going to say, fermenting in Egypt. I was going to say growing. They did indeed grow, and then there was, as the Bible says, a period of toughening and of tempering. But the Lord, in preparation for this quiet time, this intertestamental quiet period, he put many warnings down. He sent many of the prophets, and many times they're skipped over. They're not read and they're not preached on. Because, unfortunately, I'm just trying to think of an example. If you were to think on the chapters 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation, when the Lord is talking to about all of the churches in Asia Minor, there's only two that really don't have the threat of a big stick coming their way. The Lord says, you're doing a grand job. I know you're in a tough place. Keep hold on to that which you have and keep plugging. Now, it's going to be tough, but you're doing a good job. I really can't recall anywhere else where the prophets are sent to tell people everything's hunky-dory. Very rarely do the judges even say, you're doing a good job, and I'm just going to sit here with my arms folded and wait until my life's over. That has never been the case. The judges were sent whenever the children of Israel were doing badly, and they were warned most definitely, it was normally to bail them out of trouble, they were warned most definitely about misbehaving in the future, and on the run up to this time, Amos pretty much has the same thing to say. Or should I say, the Lord told Amos to say exactly the same things. Now the first few verses that we look at, the first one shows us God's ownership of the children of Israel. He said, I have chosen you. Of all the peoples on the earth, I have chosen the children of Israel. They're going to be the ones that are mine. And there are many other peoples. It doesn't matter that about the color of your skin or the language you speak, you have a precious soul. Even back in Old Testament times, there were people that were adopted in. Rahab the harlot was adopted in. We had Ruth, the Moabitess. She was adopted in. Anybody that wanted to come to know Jesus, that wanted to obey the Lord, there was a space made for them. And God says this, but he says, because of your devilment, because of your behavior, I'm going to punish you for them. Because people have to not only see that God lifts people up and not just glorifies them, but glorifies himself through them so that other people can see that God will indeed bless you and do miraculous things for you, and then they will want that, but also that whenever God's people do wrong, that it's a case of let's go behind the woodshed and maybe a few yelps and a bruise or two will make you stay on the right path. God said, I will also show them the chastening. You have to know that just because I have put my hand upon you and blessed you, that every single thing you do is not right. There are some things that are not acceptable. And God says, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And he gives a few examples, a few, I would say life examples or examples from nature. There's many, a gospel message that comes just from nature, which is pretty much the way where this one has come from today. He says, can two people walk together except they be agreed? Can they? If two people disagree about everything, how can they get on together? They'll not want to go together. It'll be like, at the risk of quoting Star Wars, R2-D2 and C-3PO going in opposite directions in the desert because they were always arguing. It'll be like the Roman Catholic and the Protestant sitting down to try and discuss the finer points of their faith, and both unwilling to listen to the other. It's not going to work. When two teams of people play football, all the people in the one team play against the other team. They're not looking for the other team to help them score goals. They know full well that the only people that they can get to help them is the people wearing the same jersey. It's the same for armies, it's the same for marriages, it's the same for friendships. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Goes on. These are common sense things. God goes on to say is when a lion takes a prey and it roars, it's not going to roar for nothing. Whenever you hear it roaring, you know an antelope or a deer or something has met its end, and the lion is sitting there telling the rest of the pride to come and telling every other creature to stay away. And the verse that we'll come to verse 5 at the end of the other verses. The Word of God also talks about whenever there's in days of yore, it used to be a bell would be rung to warn of danger and people would run for cover. Even further back, it was trumpets. And even not so very long ago, they used trumpets and music to call the troops together, to rally them, to trumpet a retreat or a charge or all of these things. But in this case in the city, if the trumpet's blown, it's going to make people afraid, because they're going to be made aware by the blowing of the trumpet that enemies are coming and they need to secure the walls and the doors and all of that stuff. It's going to get the old heart pumping and the adrenaline flowing. There are certain things that just are the way they are. And one of them, unfortunately, is that God will bless those that obey him, that follow him, that love him. And he will chasten those that are his that don't, that just refuse to follow. Those that get saved are going to spend an eternity in heaven in glorified bodies with robes of righteousness, with the company of angels, God even himself, and all those that we have known and loved that went on before us. And those that don't get saved will end up in hell and sadly the lake of fire with their sins and their shame not available, easily seen by all those that would look upon them, even themselves. The verse that really got me and the verse that really fell in with a thought that has been on my heart for quite a week is verse number 5. And it says, can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin, that's a trap, is set for him? Now, I have seen all manner of traps for birds. I've seen nets that would flick up whenever the birds would gather in one place and catch them, and I think they take and cook them. That's what the flesh is for in the face of this earth. It says, shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? And I got to thinking about that, because sometimes whenever, after I would go for a walk to the church, and I'm still doing a bit of physio and exercises for my shoulders and my arm, I would be sitting having my green tea and breakfast burrito, and occasionally I would watch some of those American homesteader movies. There's one particular one called Mountain Men. There's another one called Homestead Rescue, but the one called Mountain Men has these guys that live up in the mountains, and we're not talking about an hour and a half to drive to the Mourne Mountains and living up there, or just taking a left turn at the top of the Glen Shane and disappearing up into the mountains there, because literally you could nearly walk to a shop even from the top of the Glen Shane. We're talking about men that make their living and live off the land. And I got to thinking about the traps that they set. And even looking at them and thinking, are those animals stupid? That they will stick their nose into this metal square that's sprung on a big bit of steel for a mouthful of meat. And the next day when the camera cuts back to this fella's trap, sure enough, there's a weasel in it. There's a mountain lion in it. There's even a wolf caught in one. And the answer is yes, there's always one that's stupid enough to put its face in the trap and get its head cut, neck broke, whatever it is that it takes. Now I know that that's if you're going out hunting for your dinner. But we're in church this morning and we're talking about the traps that the world, the flesh and the devil have. They're not setting them. They're not going to set them for people or indeed Christians. They're already there. And a saved or lost soul can get well and truly bogged down if they're not careful. And to be quite honest with you, we would be completely stuck in one or other of them if it wasn't for the love and the patience and the provision that God has for us. Now, there's a great little verse. There's a number of verses that always stick with me. And this one is from Isaiah 59, where it talks about the enemy coming in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord raising up a standard against them. And a lot of us, we rest on verses like that. We like to hear about salvation. See, getting saved out of a sticky situation. Or we like to hear of redemption. I certainly love to hear about people being saved and people being saved from a lot of the things that would pull them down. But I would like to warn you not to indulge yourselves in sin or stupidity, hoping or depending upon the Lord to pull you out. That is tempting the Lord, and Jesus said to the devil, and if he said it to the devil, he's saying it to you and me, don't tempt the Lord your God. You don't step out into the front, into four lanes of fast moving traffic thinking that an angel is going to swoop down and lift you under the arms and you go floating across the carriageway, because most likely thing that'll cause you to float across the carriageway is a car hitting you at 50 or 60 miles an hour. Rank stupidity will get you killed whether you're saved or lost. I want to take you through. Now, this, I enjoy shooting. I had to work hard at my hunting and skinning and cleaning of animals. I just kept thinking, Lord, in 1 minute it'll just look like a piece of meat that came out of a piece of shrink-wrapped plastic in Tesco. I'll just pray for this next minute. And sure enough, after that minute, that's exactly what it did look like. But I want to give you a few of the things that I have seen these trappers, these guys do whenever they go hunting. Now, they have what's called a trap line, and it could be a path that's about 4 or 5 or maybe even 6 miles long. And there's all the brush is worked away, and it's cut down, and they can get their snowmobile up, or they can get up on their, what do you call them, snowshoes. Yes, there you go. And what they do, before they even go out, they prepare. They make sure their snowmobile has got fuel in it, make sure they've got all the proper clothes, and they take all the traps and they boil them in water with a taste of salt and some of the local plants all fired in to take the smell of people off of it. So that's the first thing they do. And then they throw them into a box and they throw them onto the back of this snowmobile. And then they start along their trap line, and as they go, their trap line goes, they'll see animal paths crisscrossing it, because there's no point in setting a trap at the top of a mountain when there's no animals there. You go where the animals are. And so they go. And they will set a trap, and most often a trap has to be fixed to something so that it keeps the person. It keeps the critter there until the person comes back. And so they secure it to a tree, or they secure it to a stake in the ground. And then they take their gloved hands and they open the trap, they set the trap, and they put the bit of bait right in the middle of the trap. And then they cover the chain and the stake, and they cover as much of the trap as they can with snow or grass or sticks. And they make sure of maybe a wee taste of a scent. It could be it could be all sorts of animal fluids that they will maybe sprinkle around to attract other animals to it. And then they go. They don't just sit and watch it and wait, because obviously the animal would see them there. They go to the next one and they'll set another trap, and they'll do exactly the same. They will secure it, they will set it, they will bait it, they will hide it, and then they'll move on to the next one. And they'll keep doing that with every single trap, and there could be 30 or 40 traps. They could be trapping for all manner of things, using slightly different bait or slightly different lures or slightly different traps. But in the end of it all, the next day, all of the traps might not be full of fur or food, but some of them will be. They just come back the next day. You just give it a chance. Now, I got to thinking, as I do, sometimes it takes a wee while for these thoughts to percolate through, but in all of nature, it's preaching a gospel message to us. The things that people do, the things that even nature itself does. And Romans 1 and 20 tells us that the invisible things of God, in other words, the supernatural world that God preaches about, is plainly seen from the creation of the world. His eternal power and Godhead is evident, so that we, that is in we as a creature, mankind, will not have an excuse. Nobody will have an excuse whenever they stand in front of God and God says, well, why didn't you? Or why did you? Nobody's going to be able to say, well, I didn't get a clear direction from you. Well, you knew I was there, didn't you? Well, all you had to do was pick up the book and read it. Pray anyway. Just like these, some of these critters are prized for their fur. Some of them are prized for their meat. I even heard there's a scent gland in, I think it's a beaver that is prized for perfume or something along that lines as well. But there's a different, might be a wee bit of rabbit meat in one trap, there might be a bit of beaver tail in another, maybe just a bit of skin and fur in another. That's just what certain critters are looking for. The ones that are hunted are valuable. And some of these guys can make upwards of $1,000 from a single fur, like a wolf. If it's skinned properly, if it's tanned properly, if the skull is prepared properly, they can make a fortune of money off of it. And that's fair enough because these things are valuable and people have to eat. But to go from the worldly example right down to our example, to how it applies to us, I'm not here to tell you that there's a man out there setting traps for people whenever they walk to Tesco's, and if you put your foot on it, the tree is going to whip back and you're going to go shooting up into the air and everyone's going to look up pointing at you. We already did the looking up and pointing at things the last service. There are much more subtle and much more dangerous traps that the world, the flesh and the devil has set for us. First of all, there is no point in trapping anything that's worth nothing. And the Word of God over and over again tells us that we are valuable. We are valuable to God. We have an immortal soul that is going to live forever. And to give an example, the Lord said, what good is it to you if you're never saved and you have all the riches in the world? What good is it to you? Because someday, as Solomon said, I think it was in Ecclesiastes, you're going to go and somebody else is going to get the benefit of all of your riches. What good is it to you? Would you not be far better, even minus an arm or an eye or a leg, being saved and going to heaven and inheriting everything forever instead of holding a ton of money for literally like the blink of an eye? We have a value. The Lord said we are worth more than many sparrows. And God even keeps an eye on a single sparrow dropping to the ground. We are so valuable and so loved that the Lord God came down into this world, incarnated himself in flesh and gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary. After demonstrating for more than just 3 years that he is God. He's still God. Now, to top it all off, the devil is out there. And he's trying to throw a stick in your spokes. He's trying to turn you to the left. He's trying to turn you to the right. And one of the most famous warnings is in 1 Peter, where it says, "Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." That's a warning. That's one of the many warnings from God about watching what you're doing. But I want to give you, and it is strange, whenever I thought about it, I thought, how did I not see that so many episodes of Mountain Men ago? First of all, the devil does indeed set traps. And they never stink of sin. They always smell like a good time. They're baited. They are there to lure you in. His scent will not be on them. I've heard of people going to different churches. I remember a man that was going to a church and his wife didn't like going to the church because they preached the gospel. And in order to get peace at home, he ended up leaving that good gospel church and going to a church that had a bit of compromise in it. I know of another man that said exactly the same thing, and he was, goodness, he would have debated the King James Bible at the door. I actually witnessed him debating why the King James Bible was right and all of the other Bibles are wrong. harmful at the door of a man that went to a wishy-washy, charismatic, it might even have been, I can't even remember the Cornerstone or one of those places in town. One of the wackadoodle churches. Until he met this girl. And how they were going to come to church and how we were going to be invited to fellowship with them and all of this stuff, and he got married and he was gone. Next thing I hear, he's going to Cornerstone. Next thing I hear after that, he's going to an even more wackadoodle church. And after that, an even worse one. And he's reading the NIV, which is the worst Bible, and I don't even like to call it a Bible, the worst counterfeit of a Bible. It would be like you going to the NIV is the 11 pound note of counterfeit notes. It is that awful. And he was going and saying, oh, this is the word of God, and it's not. All because he made a decision to marry a girl that was a Christian. You need to be careful of the traps that the world, the flesh, and the devil will set. They will always seem genuine. They will always seem respectable. There might be a little bit of compromise involved there, but you know what? You're getting more than enough to pay for your inconvenience or the wee bit of a niggle you get. There's nothing to be worried about there. I want you to understand something. Just because you're sitting here and there's seven of us here today and we're not preaching easy on the Word of God, we're going hard, we've sung some good songs. The devil's not above. Even now as I speak, who does that guy think he is? You don't want to go listening to him, but the thing about it is all the stuff that we've been mentioning is from God's creation and God's Word, and they're all dovetailing together, they all agree. So if you have those thoughts in your head, that's not from God. The devil had a go at Jesus. 3 times. And all of the things were things that Jesus wanted and desired. All of the things were part that appealed to Jesus' nature. And the devil wasn't above tempting his creator. Do you remember what he tempted him with? You've been fasting for 40 days. Why don't you have a wee? Why don't you make yourself a scone there and put a bit of butter on it? Why stop at scone, a bit of butter? Why not just have a wee pot of tea with it as well? And what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He tempted him to slake his appetites straight away. Next thing he tempted him with was the ownership of the world. He said, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you these because it's given to me. And the devil, or the Lord said, it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And that's it. And you remember the last thing he tempted him with? Show your glory. Show your power. As he took him up to the peak of the synagogue. Throw yourself down and let people see the angels coming to set you safely on the ground so that you don't even dash your foot on the ground. All these things that Jesus wanted to do were natural second nature. He is our ruler. He is powerful. He was hungry. But all of these things would have shortcut a much needed journey. It's not the destination, friends, that makes us. It's the journey that makes us. And Jesus needed to be there for a while. He needed to live amongst us, and he needed for people to get a taste of his glory. Not to see it all because it was too terrible. Remember how people behaved whenever Moses spent time in the presence of the Lord with his face glowing and they were afraid of him? The devil will always offer a shortcut. Now, that's like the traps, here's a free meal. That's pretty much it. The thing about it is, too, with the devil's traps, he's not going to set a trap in church to try and tempt you into the pub or try and tempt you into the arms of an adulterer or an adulteress or a fornicator. He's not going to set that here because, hey, there's not very many people that come to church that's going to be caught by that, one would hope. He's going to set that out in the pub. He's going to set that out in a disco. He's going to set that out in the middle of a crowd where there are loads of people. He is going to set his traps where they're going to do the most damage. Just like the animals, there's no point in setting a trap where there's no animals about, you set it in a run. Secondly, you're not going to be able to see the mechanism at the very start. And until the trap springs and catches you in it, you maybe not even notice you're in a trap. Because we can't see it. But it will be there. And he's content to wait. He can wait. One of the things that catches a lot of the animals is, especially wolves, they've got a great sense of smell and they don't like people. And if they smell a person, they'll avoid an area for a while. But whenever they come back the next day, the scent is slightly less. And the next day the scent is slightly less, and there's still that bit of meat stuck in that metal frame. It's almost like it's just sitting there tempting me, the wolf will be saying. And then one day the scent will be gone and the wolf will walk up to it, and as he goes to get the meat, trap closes on his leg. Or it snaps around his neck and he's done. And that's what the devil will do to us as well. He sets the trap, and if you're reading your Bible, if you're in the presence of God, there is no way you're going to have anything to do with that. But if it's still sitting there, you're going to think, well, do you know what? It's there and it hasn't hurt me. And if I take part in that, I'll have a good time, or I'll make a few pounds, or I'll gain a few friends, or I'll get a bigger contract, something like that. And you think, And it's still there, and you walk back and forwards, and every day you think about it, and every day it's there, and it hasn't caused you any bother, and you think, I'll just go for it. And you get yourself invested, you invest time and money and effort, and before you know it, you're caught, and you're dragged down. Do you know what a wolf will do if its foot's caught in a trap? It'll actually chew the foot off. Rats, I think, will do the same. Chew the foot off to get away. And that's quite literally what you'd have to do to get away. We're not animals. And again, it just amazes me that critters will stick their head in a spring snap bear trap. Something that would break your fingers, quite easily break the neck of one of these wee things. I think God sits up in heaven sometimes and says, can you not see what's going to happen to you if you start walking down that road? Can you not see the hurt that it will cause you? Can you not see the loss that it will cause you? It will be devastating. For all the traps that I saw your man setting, they lost very little bait and caught quite a few of these critters. And from what the word of God says, in these last days, there's going to be a great falling away, which means the devil is probably sitting bear traps down the aisles in the churches, and people's falling into them. How do you mean? Well, I think there was the Church of England had a pub in the basement. There was a Baptist church in America, I think when the Super Bowl was on, played the Super Bowl in church. Men come to church in muscle shirts, women come to church and in their underwear, they forget their outer clothing. And we wonder where the traps are in church. The minister stands at the front of the church and says, yes, we've been preaching hard on the King James Bible for years, but I think we're going to move to the New King James Bible and we're going to take a more love-orientated approach. And so all the people get lulled to sleep and they forget that the devil hates God's creation. Friends, we're not animals, but we're not always clever enough to see what the devil has set out for us. There's one way to avoid the loss and the hurt and the things that the world and the flesh and the devil will not might, but will do to us. And it's in James, I think it's James 4. It says, submit yourself to God. That's the first thing. Do you remember way back when the children of Israel were starting to conquer the land? I think, was it Ai? They had a successful battle when they asked the Lord, what should we do? And the Lord said, do this. And they beat the pants off of whomever it was. And then they came to Ai and they said, we'll just do exactly the same. And they got a hiding. I think they had 30 men killed, give or take. Submit yourself to God. And just because the second situation seems very much like the first situation, that you don't have to go and seek God's advice, submit yourself to God. And submit yourself to God again. And then resist the devil. When you know exactly what it is you're supposed to be doing, the Bible says he'll flee from you. But more often than not, if you're submitting yourself to God, you're not going to be on the beaten track. You're not going to be where the most carnage can be caused by the world, the flesh, and the devil, because that's a broad road. That's where trappers set their traps. On the runs. On the trails. But whenever you're walking the straight and the narrow path, there's just not as many there. When you're walking, at the very start, in verse 3 it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's good to live in unity. It's good to live in peace. It's even better to live in that peace and unity with God Almighty. And if you're walking and talking with him, and whenever I say that, I think of the image that goes through people's heads is like a Hollywood image where there's a happy accident and all of a sudden you have spider powers. Or electrical powers. Or you can go big and green and lift tanks. That's not the way it works. And a Christian's strength does not come from a flash in the pan. It comes from being on hands and knees. It comes from being in the Word of God over many days and weeks and months and years. That is where your power comes from. Your walk with God. And the more you walk with God on the straight and the narrow road, and the more of the scriptures you let into your heart, and the more of the time you spend praising God and obeying God, the less time you can be in places where the devil will get you. He's still going to try. He might not be able to trap you. He might throw stones at your house, but he certainly can't come into the house. He might ring the doorbell and run away, but he can't get in. Christian, because you have a strong man dwelling with you, that is the Lord God Almighty. I don't know if you've ever come across some of those documentaries or nature shows where the guy goes out to get this monster fish that people have spoken about for years but never been able to see. And there is a reason for it. Norman can probably tell you a tale or two about trying to get fish. The story goes, and I'm sure it's a story repeated many times, that you have to go out into the middle of this lake because this fish always lives down in the depths. And it doesn't come to the surface where people could spear it or shoot it. And it's very choosy about its food, so it's not going to go for just any bit of bait on a hook. But put the right stuff on and take your time and be patient and use the right gear and you'll get them. You don't want to put yourself out there as a target for the devil. You don't want to go tempting the Lord. You want to walk with the Lord. You want to be faithful. You want to be a good Christian. And you know what? I don't even like that. You don't want to be just a saved soul. You want to be a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not. There's no such thing as a good Christian or a bad Christian. A Christian means someone that behaves like Jesus. You want to be a Christian. Because when you're walking and talking with God, the devil doesn't have much to to hang on to. He doesn't have much by way of inroads. He might be shouting in your ear, but when the Lord is speaking with that still small voice in the other, it's amazing how much that still small voice can block out, especially when you're thinking about it. I'll give you an example. From the age of about 11, I've had tinnitus in my ears, or tinnitus, whatever you want to pronounce it. And basically, all day, every day, I have white noise playing at a certain level in my ears. Ling is going to force me to go and see Dr. Yang, Dr. Shang. But I saw the needle that she put into, that he put into her jaw, and I'm thinking twice about it. I am going to tell you the one thing that has saved my head from being done in is not listening to it, but having something else to think on. Having Bible verses to rattle off in my head, have projects to do that's not necessarily a church-based thing, or reading or studying or praying, thinking on other things. Whenever the old world, the flesh and the devil comes roaring at you and shouting at you and vying for your attention, be thinking on other things, be doing something else. There are many ways in which animals are not caught, and there are many ways in which Christians are not caught by the world, the flesh and the devil. I don't have time to go into all of them. I think I've pretty much mentioned all of them, but you will find all of the solutions in his word and on your hands and knees. If you're stuck in one, Lord had a solution, and it's not an easy one. Basically said, if your right eye offends, you pluck it out. If your right hand offends, you cut it off. If your right foot offends, you cut it off. For it is better to go into heaven halt, maimed, and blind than it is to go to hell whole. And people think, oh, that sounds a bit tight. But there's another verse that people forget or are never warned about or never instructed to commit to their hearts and minds. It is a great help. And it says, anything that you have had basically to sacrifice for your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, he will provide something that's 100 times better by way of a replacement. And I don't know, I would like to think if I whipped my right arm off for the cause of God and I could get Steve Austin's bionic right arm on, I think I'd be laughing, but I think I'm going to forgo that. But seriously, anything that you ever have to give up or get rid of, even if it costs you, and sometimes it will, do it in faith, and God always has something much better for you in its place. Amen. Just beware of the devil. God bless you and thank you. Right, our closing hymn this morning is 137. 137. That's in times like these. If you're fit, I'd like for us all to stand and make a joyful song.
Times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. In times like these, you need the Bible. Your anger holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen. Thank you for your good time. Pray you all have a safe journey home. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed in a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your house, amongst your people. And Lord, thank you for your word, for all your many helps and blessings. I pray you, Lord, for safety, for wisdom, for inspiration, for protection as we go our separate ways. And Father, that you would just give us an opportunity to share what we heard today, or in fact, anything that we've ever heard from your word. Please save souls. Please use us, Lord. Don't be done with us. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen, folks. God bless you. Shake hands.